We welcome back the Cedar family to our presence and into our body. And I welcome Reverend Cedar. I'm going to read the passage that he will preach on this morning. If you'll turn with me in your copy of the scriptures to Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Listen as I read God's holy word. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he caused his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect."
We are honored to be back with you one last time. Not exactly sure when we'll be back, but if we come back, we'll be later. So we look to God's Word for our direction, for our guidance. We look to people of the past for their wisdom about it. We live in a litigiously driven society. Every person about us seems to wish to instantly cry out when perceived wrongs appear, "I will take action against you." And when there is injustice, there is that right. Yet, the Christian's law should always be forbearance and grace. Lord, give me a patient spirit so that I may not seek to avenge myself even when I might righteously do so. When do you think those words were spoken? Try the latter half of the 19th century. They were spoken, or actually written, by C.H. Spurgeon. Do we understand that claiming our rights is nothing new? But how do we respond to perceived injustice? What is the Christian's recourse? Heavenly Father, we look to you. We don't know the answers. We don't have the answers. We have to look at your word. We have to probe the depths of your mind. Because our society points us in the wrong direction. Our culture points us in the wrong direction. All it thinks of is revenge. All it considers is the way that it's going to get back at whomever. Father, help us to understand the way you want us to handle things, to think your thoughts after you, and to glorify your great name as we act in a countercultural way. We give you the glory and the praise, for it is always due to you. In Christ's name, who loved us when we did not deserve that love, we pray these things. Amen. The first thing that we see in this passage is love toward those who do not deserve it. That is countercultural. Love to people who are nasty. Love to people who have a bad attitude and who snip at us on a daily basis. It's like there's just people out there who woke up on the wrong side of the bed or who have a continual diet of lemons. and they're just sour all the time. And you go, man, what is up with them? What? How do you treat them? Do you snap back? I had occasion this week. We had a lot of people out for some odd reason. Every time we have a break, the population of the workforce drops the day before and the day after. It's like they're preparing for whatever partying they're going to do, and then they're getting over it the day after. It's strange. I don't know how to deal with it. But there was an incident that the managers had to deal with, and I'm the new guy, okay? I just started working there like 3 months ago, but I'm running the place. That's weird. So they're all snapping at each other. They're all yelling at each other. And I'm like, hold it. Okay, guys, here's the deal. You know what to do. Do it. And they all went, oh, okay. They all disappeared. It's like, okay, we got it. How do you handle stuff? Jesus says, you have heard it said. That it was said, you know, by the people long ago. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Now, what's that mean exactly? That's the way the Mosaic Law handles litigation. The Mosaic Law allowed for lawsuits giving the injured party the right to restitution. It's not like somebody punches you in the nose and you punch them back. That's not the way it is. This is court-legislated restitution. So, say you accidentally hit someone, you were fooling around and you accidentally hit someone and you broke one of their teeth. Then the court would drag you in and surgically break one of your teeth. It was direct. I mean, if you hurt someone's eye, they're going to hurt your eye. I mean, that's how they handled things. And Jesus says, no. Hold on, guys. But I say to you, do not be hostile toward the evil. Okay? Paul said virtually the same thing in Romans 12. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's plenty of evil out there. We're surrounded by it. It's all around us. See it as an act of providence that this stuff happens. Because what's the old commercial? Life comes at you fast. And then they saw a truck running over the little car, you know, squashing it. See it as an act of providence when someone unjustly sues you, when someone unjustly attacks you. God is teaching you something. God is working in your heart and life. What do we have in our society? It's getting crazy now. I mean, it's getting off the wall. Some dude made comments. I just read one this morning. This guy made a comment to some woman about the basketball star Magic Johnson. And so now it's a big explosion. But they're looking at the recording that she made. The company the guy owns is suing her. Is in a lawsuit. So what they're thinking is that this is a payback. And that's the way our society works. So we're going to make this guy look like a monster, like a Nazi or like a racist or something else, because we need to defend our rights and we need to get revenge, and that's the society around us. The director of Mozilla that was gotten rid of because he gave $1,000 to the pro-marriage, anti-gay marriage constitutional amendment in California. They raised a fit over that. It's fascism is what it is. But that's our society. You take away my rights, I'm going to take away yours. I'm going to take away your right to work. And so what do we see? Revenge constantly. People revenging themselves on people they don't even know. And Jesus says, "That's no, don't do that. It's wrong. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other." What? Wait a minute. Jesus, I don't understand this. Well, you got to understand the cultural ramifications of this. What a slap in the face was they allowed a slap in the face of a guilty person instead of stoning them to death. It was a grave insult. It was basically saying that you deserve death, but I'm quote-unquote giving you mercy. You see that, actually, if you look at the news recently, there was a story of a person in Iran who had killed another person and had done it as a juvenile in a riot. And Iran, they don't take any prisoners. They hang people. This kid's about to be hung. And the family had been urged to forgive him because he was a juvenile when he carried out the crime. So the way that the woman said to him, "I forgive you," was she walked up and smacked him as hard as she could. And that was it. It's a grave insult. And Jesus is saying, if somebody insults you in this way, forgive them and let them insult you further. Bear the insult. Show Christ's love. Bear the insult. When someone sues you and takes your shirt, give them your coat. You say, "Wait a minute. But, no." What he's talking about is love. How much love can you show someone who wrongs you? And what is love, by the way? Is it a warm, fuzzy feeling where we hug ourselves? You want to know what God's love is? You want to know the power of God's love? Look at 1 Corinthians 13. It's patient. It's kind. It doesn't seek its own. Etc. God's love isn't selfish. It seeks the betterment of the object of its love. What do we have in our society? We have a society that does not know how to be courteous. We have a society that does not know how to respect or to show respect. Want proof? Walk through an airport. Walk through a store. Walk through the mall and listen to how many people use foul language around you. It's almost like you got to walk around with your hands over your kids' ears so they don't start doing it themselves. And little kids, little children, using foul language. It's like, wow, what's the more disrespectful we get toward authority, the less respectful our language is, and therefore the less articulate we become. That's how we are. The courts of Jesus' day, though, had a tendency to be extremely unjust. What he's telling these people is, figure stuff out before it gets that far. If someone has a grievance against you, solve it before it goes to court. In Christian nations where there's a Christian influence, there may be a tendency for more just verdicts. Maybe not. But we need to figure this out before it gets that far. And what's the next thing that he says? If somebody compels you to go a mile, go two. What's that all about? Well, in Roman law, the Roman soldier had the right to grab you and say, "I'm tired. Carry my pack. Carry my kit." But he only had the right to do that to a peasant for one Roman mile. And Jesus said, show God's love. Give him two. Double the trip. You say, but hey, people will take advantage of that. That's not your worry. God will deal with them. God will judge the person who takes advantage of other people. You deal with you in your attitude and your actions. Jesus knew what the Roman soldiers were like. They took advantage of people. They took their possessions and they took advantage of them and their livelihood. If you were a peasant in that time, you got mistreated quite a bit. But Jesus is telling them, show God's love. And he's telling us the same thing. Be a law above and beyond. Give to the one making request of you. Be generous. Be generous. Don't be stingy. And the one who desires to borrow from you, do not turn away. Love says, take care of those around you. Do not focus only on yourself. Do not focus only on your own needs. Love people. Show them Christ's love. You want to have an impact in your community? Let them know that you're different. Let them know that the grace of God lives in your heart and lives out in your life. Yeah, will there be people who take advantage of it? Sure, but they'll also be under the judgment of God. Will there be people who are astonished? There certainly will. But how do we show Christ's love? He tells us. Again, he says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. Now, that isn't from the Mosaic Law. That is actually from the rabbinic writings, the commentaries on the Mosaic Law, the Talmud. And it's a natural response. It's a natural inference. If one is an enemy, then he must be hated. That's how we naturally respond to things. But Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Our King, by His example, teaches us a better way, a better law, that of love, in spite of. Not because of, in spite of. Paul says it in Romans 5. How often do you see someone, a good person, giving their life for a good person? Or someone giving their life for a stranger? We think that's above and beyond. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on our behalf even though we were His enemies. That's the example our King sets for us. See, that's powerful love. Yes, it is. It's transforming love. It's love that breaks through all the other garbage and loves in spite of. And pray on behalf of those who persecute you. Pray for their conversion. Pray to God for the transformation of their lives. You want an example? In the early church, there was a woman who the Roman soldiers had come and said, you will worship the emperor. And she said, no, I won't. This band of Roman soldiers, there was 100 of them, they said, you will, or we'll kill your family. She said, no, I won't. So they killed her husband. They threw him in front of a running horse and he was stomped to death. And then they said, we'll kill your children. And she said, I won't worship the emperor. I don't care what you do. And they killed her children by burning them in her house. She was a wealthy, noble woman. And finally, they were ready to kill her. And she said, I just want to tell you one thing. I forgive you and I love you. My family is with the Lord and I will soon be there as well. And they killed her. But those last words stuck in their minds. And they went to another man who was a Christian, and he told them how to come to Christ, and all 100 men did. Pray for those who persecute you. We have not suffered unto death as they did. So that you should become sons of your Heavenly Father. We imitate the love of God when we act in a way consistent to what He demands of us. And we do it before the world. The idea may be ridiculed, but the practice is lauded. Why? Because He causes His Son to rise on the good and the evil. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It didn't just rain on your stuff this morning. It rained on your neighbor's stuff, who may or may not be a Christian. It rained everywhere. Wouldn't it be interesting if God went, oh yeah, He's a Christian, and it rains there, and it doesn't rain anyplace else around it? You'd have dust blown. Well, you have dust blown through your yard all the time anyway, so it's where you live, you know? But when it rains everywhere. When the sun comes out, the sun shines and warms the earth and causes that photosynthesis to start up. And the plants grow in your neighbor's garden and in yours. That's common grace. That's God providentially providing for even the unjust. And so we are to show our kindness to even those who aren't kind to us in return. And finally, the oddest command in the Bible. One that seems totally impossible. One that seems like, this isn't going to work. How can you do this? Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Love for love, love returned for love, is manlike. Yeah, we get that, you know. That's normal. That's the way people all are. But love for hate is Christ-like. He says, do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? Even the worst person tends to love when they are loved. The worst criminal, the worst person you can think of, when they are shown love, generally they return it. What is uncommon is forgiveness and love. The common attitude is, well, you know, I can't stand that person. You don't know what they did to me. No, I don't, but God does. And who really is being impacted by your bitterness? Them or you? Let it go. Let it go. That vile bitterness that's deep down inside us destroys. It's that root of bitterness that grows up and turns into a monster plant. I always wanted to crossbreed a Venus flytrap with a redwood and see what we came up with. You get a man-eating plant in the backyard, you know. But that's the way that root of bitterness is. It's a cross between one of these massive plants that eats bugs and a redwood. And it's going to get you. It's not getting that person that you're bitter at. It's getting you. And it'll destroy you eventually. And if you only welcome your brothers, what advantage do you have? Do not even the Gentiles do this? Even people with no Christian influence on them at all will be courteous for the most part. But politeness and respect should characterize every Christian. Being morally perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is morally perfect. Love is at the heart. Love is at the heart of God. It's who He is. It's at the height of this perfection. Look at 1 John 4. Look at what he says. He says, the one who does not know God, does not love, does not know God. Because God is love. If you can't love, if you say, well, I just can't, then you need to examine your heart as to whether you have truly trusted Christ and the Holy Spirit is at work in you. Because I'll tell you what, love is what comes out of someone who has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Not arrogance, not self-centeredness, not self-righteousness, but love. That's what this perfection is all about. It's reacting to the situation as God reacts. Will God react in justice later? Yes. But right now, He is extending grace to you and to me. You're still alive, aren't you? You're still breathing, aren't you? Then the call of the gospel is still extended. You say, wait a minute, hold on. Aren't there elect? That's God's business. That's not your business. Election's God's business. It's your business to trust in Him. The elect believe. The elect trust in Him. You say, well, you know, I'm going to sit around for a while. I'm elected. Oh, really? Maybe you're not. Because you sit around and expect yourself to live however you want until you someday come to that point where you trust in Christ and you're transformed? No. He's the one who's in charge of salvation. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians? God gives the increase. I plant, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. It's God who transforms us. It's God who makes us new. And when we sit around going, well, you know, I'm okay. No. I can do what I want. I can live how I want. I don't have to love wrong. Jesus commands you to love. God commands you to love. You are told you have to. Paul says it this way, and this is what we'll close with. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. You want to read a convicting chapter? Ephesians 4 slaps us upside the head with the way we should live. But he finishes the chapter by saying, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ forgave you. Love says we let go of wrongs. We are called to be people who forgive. We are called to perfection of character. We are to show that perfection. That perfect character through the way we love. We are to demonstrate a transformed life each time we show love to those who do not deserve it. We demonstrate that God is at work in us. And we do that to a world who is not only skeptical, but hostile to us. Oh, Lord, let us live and serve you through your Son who loved us when we didn't deserve it, and love them, those who are around us who do not deserve it. Father, teach us to love. Teach us to love like you love. We don't know how, because our society and everything around us tells us the opposite. Teach us to forgive. Teach us to let go. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's holding on to a grudge, that's holding on to an unforgiving spirit, I pray that you wouldn't let them rest until they let go. Father, we're responsible for how we live. We don't understand how that works in your providence and in your decree. But you hold us responsible. And Father, I pray that we would live to that responsibility and be people of character who love your way. And we pray all this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.